Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise and glory, Father, for your love bestowed upon us, Father.
Amen.
Given us the opportunity, Lord, to be in this place of worship. Glory. Lord God, we may open our hearts, Father God, and glorify your name in our lives, Father God, that you've granted us even this day.
Thank you.
We commit ourselves, Lord, into your hands, that you may bless us, Father.
Hallelujah.
May speak to our hearts, Lord, and heal, Father God, our spirit, heal our bodies. And Father God, that we may be taken to higher heights, Father God, in the knowledge of the truth. Father, help us and forgive us of all trespasses, Lord. And cleanse us, Father God, from all corrupt things that may be creeping into our lives. Father God, we commit ourselves into your hands. We bless the word as we read, Father. And we bless the speaking and the receiving of the word. That Lord, all glory and honor may be to your name. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, you may be seated. We thank the Lord, and I'm happy to be back again in this place and to see you again, folks. And I can see the old faces and some new faces. But, I thank God that He's kept me and you, that we meet again this day to worship our Lord.
Amen.
God is good to us. And I want to bring greetings from our church back home. When I was coming, many knew of my coming here. I'm just passing through here. I'll be going to the Philippines. I really need your prayers that the Lord may lead us and bring us to be in fellowship with the brethren down in the Philippines and also later on in Cambodia. So I really solicit your prayers, and even for us back home, that we keep holding on and grow from faith to faith in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's really my joy to be in the service of the Lord, as He has called us to something that is so real, and the reality of the purpose of life, why God has put us on this earth. God has enlightened us to something that is not known by, you know, the world at large, the purpose of why we are here and why God has given us this life that we live. But we thank God that He's nice to us.
Amen.
And has revealed to us His word. And we are here not because we want to be here. We are here not because we are better than others, but we are here because of His grace.
Amen.
That He has given us to worship Him. So I also want to thank Brother God for giving me this this pulpit, that I may speak to you. And not that I'm going to bring anything new. You really know better. You are grounded in the truth. You have had the opportunity to hear the word of God. You know, that's something that is lacking in the message circles, is to hear the word of God.
Right.
People have fabricated the message. People have introduced their own things. After all, the prophet went to be with the Lord a long, long time ago, and most of us were not born when he left the scene. So a lot of things have crept in. Just imagine, just 40 days Moses being up there in the mountain, people had already had new ideas of how to cross over to the promised land. They came to Aaron and say, make us gods so that they can lead us. So it has been quite a long time since the prophet left the scene. So people are really probing into this, probing into that, trying to bring in that, trying to rectify that, to modernize this and to polish that. So, but we just want to thank God that He has kept us sane and of undiluted faith in the purpose of God for sending the prophet to bring us to the Word. And I believe we live by the Word, not just by reading, not just by, you know, talking about the Word, but as Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church, which is upon that true God-given revelation, which education cannot touch, which just associating with Christian people or associating with church, it cannot touch. It has got to really come from the Lord. And I want to believe that we are still holding on to that. Amen. We are still in the faith. For Christ said, when the Son of Man comes again, will you be in the faith? Amen. So we thank God. I just want to share with you a little thought, and maybe if we can just look into our Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 8. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And may the Lord bless the reading of His word. Amen. I just want to talk on this thought, the sons of God, which is, of course, inclusive, the children of God, sons and daughters of God. As I was saying, it is by the revelation of the word that God has brought us to Him. It is upon the word of God that we are here worshipping the Lord. It's not just by some opportunity. It's not just because our parents believed and then we joined up. Or it's not because we associated with the people who are in this world. But it is solely upon a personal revelation from God Himself that each one of us has been brought to worship God. So here we want to talk on the sons of God, the children of God. Now here the Bible says that we are the children or the sons of God. And there's a particular special way God deals with His children. Because He is God. And the true children of God are begotten of Him, for Him, and they have the characteristics of God in them. They are not children for or by themselves, but they are children because it is the purpose of God. God had a reason, He had a purpose, an eternal purpose in Himself, as He counseled within Himself that He needed you to be sons and daughters. There's a reason, there's a special purpose
why God made us not angels, not just people who know there's a God, like all other creation. They talk of birds singing to God. They talk of trees, you know, praising God and all those things. But God did not make us to be worshippers of God by virtue of knowing there is a God, or by virtue of being created by God. God has implanted and has given us something that is beyond ordinary creation, that is beyond being made even by the hands of God. God has given us, like John says, behold, what man of love that has been bestowed upon us to be called the children of God. Amen. So we are here because we are children. And because we are begotten of Him and for Him, you know, it is God's desire that we have His characteristics in us, or His being in us. That's why the Bible says that we were given not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of fear, but we were given the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we are children of God. And because we are children of God, we are here to serve a particular purpose. We are here to achieve what God desired us to be. And because of that, when He called us to Him, or when we were born of the Spirit of God, God is going to take us along a particular path, along a particular way, to make us come to the perfection or to the fullness of His desire. We don't just come and sing songs and read the Bible, preach, and then we say, that's over. But we have been called to a life to live by the Word, by the power of revelation, and our faith in God. And now God deals with us. You know, we are not just robots. We are not just people who come and go to church. But we are a people through whom God has got to accomplish His purpose. We are a people through whom God has got to show forth, like the Bible says, even the principalities and the powers in heaven are going to be shown the powers of God, or the wisdom of God, by the church, who is the bride and the children of God. Now, if I can maybe read again from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So here the Bible tells us that we have been predestinated unto the adoption. So there is this predestination which predestinated us unto the adoption. So there's a particular path we must follow. There is a particular way that we must go to come to the perfection of His predestination. That is the adoption of sons. Verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. So when He predestinated us, and He called us by His word, here it says, He has revealed to us the mystery of His will. Yeah. So you see, it's not just coming, but God has taken us by this way of revelation to reveal to us the mystery of his will. So, why that? I think also Peter says something about our coming to Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you see,
right,
we have been called for a purpose, and the Bible says God revealed to us the mystery of his will. We are not just ordinary people. It says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are a people, a peculiar people, who have been called by God himself to fulfill a purpose that was in God eternally.
Amen.
Amen. So, we did not just crop up. We were in the mind of God. We were in God, like you know, in the beginning when there was the Word, which is the origin, the beginning of our being brought into God. So God, when he brought out this Logos, the Word, we were there. We are genes of God. We are a part of God. We are a part of the life of God.
Amen.
So we hold or we have the characteristics, or we have the life of God in us. And because of that, God deals with us in a way that will bring forth, like Brother Gunn was just saying, that though troubles come, though trials come, they cannot prevent us, because those trials and troubles are part of our being brought into the characteristics of God.
Amen.
So God, in us, he works in that particular way, because we are a peculiar, particular people. We are a chosen generation. We are a people who were predestinated by himself even before the foundation of the world, that we may be sons and daughters of God. And before he called us to him, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And we were in that Word. We were genes in that Word. We were in Christ before we were born on earth. Before we were put on this planet, we were in him.
Amen.
Why were we in him? So that when we are revealed here, we may display the characteristics of God.
Right.
So whatever we are, or what we will be today, has already been manifest or revealed in the Word. Because we cannot be anything but what the Word is.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, when God wanted us to be justified by faith, the scripture preached to Abraham. You see, way back there, the scripture preached to Abraham that in thee shall all nations, or shall all peoples be justified. So actually, we are accepting what God has already done in Abraham. And the Bible says we are the children of Abraham. So whatever God wanted us to be, he took Abraham to go through it. Abraham lived a life. Abraham received the revelation. Abraham met God. Abraham lived the life that we should be partakers of, and not just by assimilation, but by revelation. Amen. So here we are. The Bible is telling us now that we are by predestination the children of God, and God wants us to be true children that reflect His character. Amen. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, it says all those who will overcome the image had their names written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. So you can see where our overcoming comes from. It does not just come because we are taught today how to overcome or how to worship God, but it's rooted right back there in the Lamb. When the Lamb was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, God was molding you and me. So whatever we are now going through is just to show, and it's just to confirm that we were in the mind of God, we were in Christ, we were in the Word. That's why our interest today is not in some denominational thing. Our interest is in the Word, because we overcame while we were still in Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, you know, like God said of Job, He says he is not worshiping me, he is not standing on the word, he is not what he is because of the riches that he has. So he says, if you want to take everything from him, but just live his life, I'll prove to you certain that he is not what he is because of the present situation.
Right.
He is what he is because of the word.
Amen.
And when everything was taken from him, he still stood on the word. Because it was not the present situation that was making him what he was. So we are not what we are because of today. We are what we are because of what we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. So the Bible says we will overcome because our names were written in the Lamb's book of life before the world began. So now, being children of God, and we were in Christ, in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, maybe we can just read that one. Isaiah 53. The prophet Isaiah. Chapter 53. Let's just read verse 5, I think. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now here is Christ, who is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Isaiah here says he was chastised, or the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. So when the Lamb, or when Christ was slain on Calvary, it was not something that was just made up on that day. It was just something that just came up. It was not an accident. It was the confirmation that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
So you see, Christ was showing forth what he really was in the mind of God. And he had to be brought through that channel to prove the infallibility of the mind of God.
Right.
So here, we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And we have seen in the book of Hebrews that if we are sons, God treats us as sons.
Right.
And this treatment we want to talk about this morning is on chastisement. Christ, in the mind of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And here in Isaiah, it said, the chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Amen.
We were not just given the peace on a platter. It was through the chastisement of Christ
right.
that we receive this what we call peace.
Amen.
So because we are sons, we have to also go through that chastisement.
Right.
And we have in us the character, the life, the attributes of God.
Amen.
We are not acting, but we are showing forth. We are revealing. Because the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. But the Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him.
Amen.
And when the Word was made flesh, we did not see Christ. We saw the glory of God.
Amen.
We did not just see Jesus.
Right.
Like Paul says, we don't just see, now we don't just see the man Jesus. But we see the glory, the purpose, the reality of God is seen when Christ is manifested. And through the chastisement of Christ, we were given the peace that we enjoy today.
Amen.
And because of that, God takes us through the same channel. He says, if you don't endure chastisement, you are not sons, but bastard sons.
Right.
Can you see? So, God deals with us in accordance with His word.
Amen.
So, we don't run away. We don't say it's too hard. We don't say it's too much.
Right.
There's never too much. As long as we are in the hands of God to prove the unchanging characteristics of God
Amen.
Revealed in us.
Right.
So because we are sons, the Bible says we go through chastisement.
Amen.
But why is this chastisement necessary? Why should it come our way? Why should we feel the pain? Why should we go through all these things? We see now from the scriptures why God deals with us in that manner. Amen. Because the sons and daughters of God are brought up in the same way Christ was brought up, so that they can portray the reality of God. Mm-hmm. Though we are sons, though we were predestinated to be the children of God, but let's take note, we were born in this world, shaped in iniquity. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
We came into the world speaking lies. But that doesn't take our away from us the fact that God wants us to be sons and daughters. We did not just come from God through the glorified body. We had to come through this body.
Amen.
The prophet said we bypassed our theophany body. Amen. So we are in this body, born in sin. So we have got to go through this process or this way of chastisement. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's like in the military. You know, back home when they are training the priests or the soldiers, you know, they are taken for some time away from civilian life. You don't come for training today, you go back home, tomorrow you come, tomorrow you go back. No. You have got to stay in the camp.
Right.
Until they take away all civilian thinking out of your mind. All civilian way of doing things, it must be taken out. You know, there's no such a thing as, don't you think you need a haircut? Don't you think you should sit there? They don't treat you like that. You know, back home, you know, they'll slap you. What? Sit there.
Right.
So that you can, all civilian thinking is taken out. All that softness is taken out. So that when you are there in the battlefront, you know how to take orders.
Yes.
Because all the softness is taken out. You cannot defend a country by soldiers. Don't you think you should fight? Don't you think we should advance? No. It's advance. Whether you like it or not, you advance.
Right.
Fire, you fire. So there must be that mentality in a soldier so that the country can be defended. So when God calls us to Him, He must take out that nature, that worldliness, that way of thinking, whereby I may think I want just to do things the way I want to do them. I just want to do things the way I feel I want to do. That has got to be taken away, so that I may be word oriented, so that my thinking, my leading is a direct inspiration from the Word of God. So, we are sons and daughters, but we must go now through this chastisement. I just want to take maybe one or two characters whom God shows, through whom God shows us how He takes out this worldly or this earthly way of doing things into something that is to portray his godliness. We want to take maybe let's take maybe Jacob. If we have time, we'll take another one. Who is Jacob? According to Malachi, according to Malachi chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, I just want to read maybe, okay, just verse, the second verse. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet He say, wherein is thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, say the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. Verse 3 says, and I hated Esau. Amen. Now, we look at Jacob. God unconditionally loved Jacob. But Jacob was not the firstborn. Even Isaac, he loved Esau. You know, he was looking to Esau to be the one who is going to take the inheritance. He's going to take on the line of the life of Abraham.
Right.
Jacob was very much disadvantaged, yet God loved him.
Right.
Amen. But he was born not. He was born without the birthright. He was born sort of out of line of inheritance. But God loved him. You know, that's what we were. We were out, born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Right.
Yet God loved us. And then He gave us His word that we may come to Him. But that doesn't do away with the fact that we were born in sin.
Right.
It doesn't do away with the fact that we walked in sin. Yet God loved us. But because of that love which He bestowed upon us, He is going to take us through a particular way so that we can be ridden of all those things that are against us. All those things that will not permit us to inherit the purpose of his calling. So God takes us through chastisement. He says, because you are sons, you have got to go through this. If you don't go through that, the Bible says, then you are not sons, but bastard. Mm-hmm. Amen. So Jacob, because God loved him, because God predestinated him unto that glory, yet he was without the desired principles or the desired laid down conditions. He had to have the birthright. He had to be in the faith. He had to be everything that takes to inherit the promise which God gave to Abraham. Then Jacob, you can see now, he deceitfully got the birthright. He tricked his brother into surrendering the birthright.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then he tricked his father into giving him the blessing. I think we need to look at that. Chapter 27. Of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 33. And Esau trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou comest, and have blessed him? Ye shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and he had taken away thy blessing." And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" You see how Jacob did it. He stole the birthright from his brother. He stole the blessing from his brother also. Amen. And when he did that, God still loved him. Because the fundamental thing is that God loved Jacob.
Right.
But he has got a character within himself. He wants to get these things that belong to God, but he is not getting them in the right way. He has stolen the blessing. He has stolen the birthright, yet God loved him. But God cannot just overlook that and say, "Okay, no problem, because I love you, no problem." He cannot do it.
Yes.
Because he is God. In Jacob must be portrayed the essence of God, the reality or the holiness of God.
Right.
But he had to do this for him to get through. And God sort of overlooked it. Amen. But he has got to go through some channel, which is God ordained.
Amen.
As I said, we could have had the privilege of being born in a Christian family, or more so, a message-believing family, father and mother. Yes, but we have to go through chastisement.
Amen.
We have got to go through the God-given, God-ordained way.
Right.
So that we can be molded into true sons and daughters of God. So here is Jacob. He has got the blessing. He has got the birthright. And of course, His blessing. Amen. And then we see Jacob, because he got the blessing, his brother wanted to kill him, and his parents were afraid if he takes a woman among the ladies of Canaan, it will be a problem. So they sent him to Paddan Aram. On his way to Paddan Aram, when he was there at Luz, when he was in the night, or using a stone for a pillow, God came down
right.
and unconditionally gave him the promise.
Amen.
The land where you are lying on, I'll give it to your children.
Right.
I'm going to bless you.
Amen.
I'm going to make you nations.
Right.
I'm going to give you this light. Unconditional, because God loved Jacob.
Amen.
And Jacob says, okay, I accept it, but now I'm going there. If you keep me, if you give me food, if you give me raiment, if you take me back to my father's house, then you shall be my God. But God is saying, I'll do this to you. He then doesn't say, okay, I accept it, I'll also worship you. He puts conditions now on God. Because that's Jacob.
Right.
That's the way he does things.
Mm.
If you do this, if you do this, if you do that, if you do that, then you shall be my God.
Mm.
And God says, it's okay. Let's go on. He goes, and he gets to Paddan Aram. There he met his uncle, Laban. He served Laban, and Laban says, okay, you are my relative, but you cannot just work for nothing. Tell me your wages. And then he goes back to his if again. I'll serve you 7 years for Rachel, your daughter. He puts conditions again
right.
on Laban. Laban says, it's okay. You work. After 7 years, he says, now give me my wife. What does Laban do? He gives him the wrong one.
Yes.
You see, why? Jacob must be brought into life.
Right.
God had to use Laban as a rod to chastise Jacob.
Right.
So that he doesn't continue in this way of if. And this way of subtly getting things. God must deal with Jacob until he comes to that perfection whereby God can say, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he may portray the real character of God. So, he works for 7 years, he's given the wrong wife, he's supposed to work another 7 years. And then he works yet another 6 years, 20. And during that time, God was working on him to take out the Jacob life. Yet God loved him.
Right.
Yet he was worshiping God. But God had to treat him in that way.
Right.
To chastise him. So that he can walk the walk.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we see Jacob. In chapter 31 of Genesis. Chapter 31 of Genesis, we will read verse 38. These 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and thy rams, the rams of thy flock, have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee, I bear loss of it, of my hands didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I once in the day drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house, I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. Now, you see, Jacob had to labor for those 20 years. And Laban was always changing the wages, changing the conditions. Because that was the character of Jacob.
Yes.
And then Jacob had to, in him now, was brought something not to continue with that tricky way of doing things. Even if a cow is stolen, he had to come and report, this cow has been stolen, and Laban will say, I want it from you. And he had to pay for it.
Right.
Whatever was devoured by wild beasts in the night or in the day, he had to pay for it.
Right.
So that that way of getting things easy, that way of just crooking his way, will be taken out of him.
Amen.
God was chastising him. God was making him be a real man for God. That's why the Bible says we must be chastised so that we may be true sons and daughters of God. So when these things come in our life, we should not despair. God is dealing with us. Sometimes, you know, we are just naughty. Sometimes we just don't do things right. And then God brings us into that so that we may really be changed. Amen. So he used Laban as a rod to chastise Jacob. And then when he was running away from Laban, and then he had to hit the other mountain again. When he was running away, he heard that Esau was coming with 400 men. So he was troubled again. He wanted to play on his old tricks. He sent some gift to Esau. Esau rejected. He says, I don't need it. So then he could see, now I cannot depend on my old tricks. So what he had to do, he had to go to God in prayer.
Right.
God now was bringing him even more closer now. Because he was on his way to Bethel to worship God. Where he said, if you do this and do this and do this and do this, I'll worship you. But it could not be by under those conditions. It had to be under by revelation.
Right.
As God was to Abraham, it wasn't by on conditions, it was by a true revelation that God revealed to Abraham. And Abraham followed God not because he said, if you do this, if you do this, if you do that. It was God unconditionally promising and giving to Abraham whatever he says he would give him. So with Jacob, he still had that mentality that he could put his own intelligence or his own way into the things of God. So God had to bring that out of him. He used Laban first, and then now he's using Esau. Esau comes to meet him with 400 soldiers, and then he tried his tricks, they could not work. So he had to go to God now. On his knees, he presented his case to God. Amen. He never now said, if you deliver me from Esau, then you will be my God. It's no longer that now. He had to see his wrong. He had to see his infirmities. He had to see where his weaknesses were. And he came to God with his whole heart, asking God to deliver him. Amen. He says, I'm afraid. That's one thing Jacob did not possess before,
right.
Admitting. Even when Laban came, he did not admit He says, you remember how you got the black or the spotted flock from Laban? You know how you got it? He never mentioned that to Laban. He was still getting things his own way.
Right.
But when it came to Jabbok now, God had to deal with him on a higher measure. And then, when he struggled with that angel until dawn, and then the angel said, let me go. Then Jacob says, bless me. He never said, overcome Esau for me. He never said, neutralize Esau for me. He wanted that blessing now.
Amen.
Or if we can come to that spot where we need the intervention of God, where we need the reality of God in our life. I've been brought up. I've been a Christian. I've been worshiping. But now I need the reality of God in my life.
Amen.
Never mind God has blessed you and given you a job. Never mind, God has blessed you and given you this. Jacob enjoyed all those things. But now he desired something more than that.
Right.
And the Bible tells us that his name was changed.
Amen. Right.
From Jacob to Esau. And names.
Israel.
From Jacob to Israel. And names, they hold a meaning. Names have something to do with what we do. And Jacob was given the new name. He's now Israel.
Amen.
But it was not on a silver platter. God had to work in him through chastisement.
Amen.
Now, we talk of the people of Israel. If you read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, I think it says, I took you through this wilderness for 40 years. I gave you manna, water from the rock. As a father chastises his son, so I was doing the same to you.
Amen.
Israel was taken out of bondage by the power and hand of God. They were on the way to the promised land. But they could not just go like that. They had to prove they desire to walk the walk.
Amen.
They had to prove that they were really the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, Israel is my son. Amen.
Amen.
So if Israel was God's son, then God had to take him through chastisement.
Uh-huh.
And he did it in the wilderness.
Right.
So that he may prove to them that he is God. And they may prove to him that they walked the walk not just by being forced to by circumstances.
All right.
But it was from deep down in their hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so what is now the purpose of chastisement? Is to prove, is to make one a real child of God who believes in God, not just because he desires this blessing, he desires this, he desires that, but there is a real longing in one to worship God. There's a real desire in one to be a child of God. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, it's natural. You know, we do things because of the benefit we get from doing those things.
Right.
You see. But I think it was Brother Brown one time who said, even if God sends me to hell, I'll still love him.
Mm.
You see, that is something, you know, out of the ordinary. Or was it a Job who says, whatever befalls me, I'll still worship God.
Right.
You know, that is something out of the Jacob way of doing things. If God can do this for me, if God can do that for me, or I want to do this right because I need God's blessing, I need God's protection in the future day, I need that. You know, it must be an unconditional approach.
Amen.
To the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. A real desire from the heart. And that cannot be achieved when the Jacob nature is still in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we've got to go through these things like God has forsaken you. God has left you. God is no longer, on your side. It looks like everything is against you. Even God himself is against you. Mm-hmm. Yet that's not so.
Mm-hmm.
That is the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
To take away all the things of the flesh so that we may be real sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
That's how God dealt with Jacob.
Right.
Amen. And also now with Israel, he had to do the same. Is it Psalms 107? Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with the fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. You see, God sent Joseph, but until the word was fulfilled, he had to go through this trial.
Right.
You see, God has promised us the rapture. God has given us his word, but until then, we must prove we are children of God. We must prove we want to be with him. You know, not run away from problems on earth, not run away from this or that, but a deep-seated desire to be with God. You see, because, there are some things that are part and parcel of our life that, we just want to get away from. I may have a sick body, I may have, problems in the flesh, I may have, even problems in my country or in my surroundings, and I wish I were with God. You know, that's why people sometimes they hang themselves. They just want to be out of this world because they are having problems.
Right.
But we don't go to heaven under those circumstances.
That's right.
We don't desire the rapture because we want to run away from these problems.
Mm.
But it must be a deep-seated love affair between us and God.
Amen.
We want to be with him because it has been revealed to us the fullness of him being God.
Mm.
Because he's God, and we have the full assurance in us that we are sons and daughters, and we want to be with him on the grounds that we are his children.
Amen.
Not because we want to run away from something. Whatever is coming through our lives is just to take the world out of us.
Right.
Not to push us to go in the rapture. All those things cannot take us into the rapture.
Uh-huh.
Because we are talking of the rapturing faith. Amen.
Amen.
And the rapturing faith is not just something that comes out of the problems of the world. It's something that is revealed. Something that is God-given. Something that comes from God. Like Jacob. It had to come from God that you are no longer Jacob, but now you are Israel. And because now you are Israel, you can go to Bethel.
Right.
Not because you are running away from Laban. You are going to Bethel because now you are Israel. You see? That's how we get into the rapture. Not because you are running away from problems. Not because, like with us, our economy is not good. Not because this and that is not right. But because we have a true revelation of who God is to us.
Right.
And there is that desire to be with him. Because what he is in us. can it be in us when all the filthy things of the world have been taken out of us and we are true sons and daughters of God? Amen. And by virtue of that, we get the revelation of the rapturing faith.
Amen.
Amen. So, what the chastisement do to us? I think Paul puts it clear in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 12 rather. Hebrews chapter 12. I just want to read one verse there. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous.
Right.
Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see, a chastisement yields peaceable fruit. Now, fruits are not just born overnight. It's a process. It's a life. And also, it is unto them that are exercised thereby. You know, you are put into there until you are exercised. You are put through an experience. It's not just something that just comes, you know, just like a, you know, an excitement. We are not children by excitement. We are children by going through this exercise. We are children by going through chastisement. And it's not an overnight affair. It's something that comes into our life. Maybe through our school life. Maybe through our jobs. Through the family, through your children. You know how God good good is God, you know? He may let you go until you have children. And through the children, you are chastised.
Mm-hmm.
But you have been a Christian all these years. You get the point?
Right.
Or maybe through your job, like God did with Laban. He can use whatever he wants to use, but then we must be conscious of what God is doing in our life until we are molded into that perfection to be real sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Amen. Because he says chastisement is an exercise. You know, and Paul says bodily exercise is good, but godliness is better.
Yes.
So you can see that it's something that we go through to mold us into that which God desires for us to be. So here it says, before the word was fulfilled, before he got what God said by his word, even the very word of God, he had to try Joseph. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, when the announcement was proclaimed that he was going to be born, it says, that which is going to be born is going to be called the Son of God. He was born with the proclamation that he was the Son of God. Yet in chapter 4 of Matthew, when he was baptized, there was that again proclamation, this is my beloved Son. And because you were a son, he had to go into the wilderness. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says, though he were a son, he learned obedience.
Right.
You see, how did he obey? Not by being said, you go and get the cookies, then he has to bring the cookies. You go and do this, he has to do that. But it says, by the things he suffered.
Amen.
That's one thing we don't want,
right,
is that suffering part. But Jesus was perfected by the things that he suffered. And the Bible says, because he feared God, God had him. He committed to God all that which came to him as chastisement. How we ought to commit to God whatever we are going through.
Amen.
Not just to come out of it. You know, like Jacob, when he got into that problem, he came out Israel. He went in Jacob, but he came out Israel.
Right.
That's what we need to do. When we come into our problems, after the problem is gone, what have we achieved? Like Jonah, after going through all those problems, he came out a preacher who could turn the whole of Nineveh back to God.
Right.
So his problems brought forth the fruit of the salvation of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever chastisement to us, you know, as we are in this world, you know, everybody goes through problems.
Right.
Everybody goes through hardship. Peter says, the problems you are going through and all the trials, they are common to everybody.
Right.
But just for us, it's not just like the common. Like the people on the ship, they lost their goods when Jonah was on the ship there. They threw out all their goods into the water. And what did they achieve? Nothing.
Right.
Otherwise, they lost their business.
Yes.
But with Jonah, it brought him into higher heights with God. So as the world is suffering, as the world is going through whatever it's going through, as for us, there's something that is happening to us.
Amen.
We don't just come out like the world. The people in the ship of Jonah, they came out of the ship having lost their business. But Jonah left the ship as a great minister of the word of God.
Amen.
And that's what we need. And that's why God brings us through all those things that we may think these are hard things for us and we are suffering. But it is for our chastisement. And our chastisement is for our perfection. And the Bible says, when Jesus was perfected, he became the author of those who obey.
Amen.
Right. Amen. The author of eternal salvation.
Amen.
To all those who obey. Amen. So we obey, you know, we submit, we give ourselves to God so that he can work in us. Amen.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, it will prove that we have been brought to what we are by the word of God.
Amen.
We are not just here because there is freedom of worship in Singapore. We are not here just because we were brought up in a Christian environment. We are not here because we love to go to church. But we are here to manifest the reality of God. And without that, our worshiping is in vain. So God has called us by his word, for his word.
Amen.
We are children of God by the word. And we are chastised by the way of the word.
Amen.
So don't complain.
Right.
Don't be discouraged. You know, don't be disheartened.
Mm-hmm.
When you are going God's way.
Amen.
That's the way God takes us.
Right.
And it's because he loved us.
Amen.
Amen. Jacob, if I loved, so has he loved you. Not on condition you are good. But whatever you were, whatever you are, God has loved you. And because of that love, he takes you now through this way of chastisement. So that his love can be perfected in you.
Hallelujah.
So that his purpose can be materialized in you.
Hallelujah.
So don't cry, but rather give God the glory.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged, but rather lift up your hands and worship and glorify God. Because he is taking you the normal godly way. Otherwise, we are just people who gather together like another religion. But we are here to express the reality of God. And we have to thank God that he has revealed to us the purpose of his will.
Yes.
That we as fans and do things. That we give our life to him. That we worship him. Not by chance. Not by circumstances, but by his working in us. Then we, together with Jacob, we can say, the God who has kept me all the way, the angel who has delivered me from all evil, bless these children. Then we know who God is to us. One day, we may leave this earth through death. When we get to that door, when we get to that gate, when we get to that river, then we can cross it with all the confidence that we are going to meet our Father. Not our Father we heard about, but our Father whom we know.
Amen.
Who has taken us through this chastisement. Who has taken us through the way of His word. Amen. We just don't want blessings from Him, and then on that day, it will be a problem to us.
Right.
We'll rather have the chastisement today.
Right.
And on that day, you say, welcome home.
Amen.
That's the desire of our hearts. So, let's take heart. Let's take courage. Let's take the chastisement of the Lord.
Amen.
That we may be perfected, that we may walk this way and glorify God. Amen. By the life that we live.
Amen.
It's like Jacob of old, we can say, God has kept me all the way.
Amen.
The angel of His presence.
Amen.
Has been with us.
Right.
May God bless you.
Amen. Amen.